This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, "Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart."
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding an old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome. We've got Greg Wyshynski today and Sal Capaccio as well. Couldn't get Brian.
Brian.
Couldn't get him.
Morning show got him.
They did?
Yeah.
Today?
Yeah.
That's a coincidence. That's a weird coincidence.
They had him maybe last week, too, just about golf. Today was about the Four Nations and the golf.
I didn't know that. And I thought it was kind of like, well, I asked him when his show started, the golf show, and it's March 1st. I don't know. Could talk some golf anyway. It's Thursday. Kind of right. A transition period in the sports, on the sports calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And he was unavailable today, well, tonight and tomorrow. I couldn't get Brian.
Tough one for us.
I didn't know he was on this morning. That's so funny. Do you have something that you're dying to get out?
I think in a world where we have seen absolutely every version of embarrassing public statements by team ownership about players, this one from Woody Johnson today absolutely, totally takes the cake.
Okay, I didn't read it.
From day one, he embodied all that it meant to be a New York Jet.
Oh, my God.
I'm done. Can we just stop there?
I mean, does it mean...
What?
Is not going to practice right? What it means to be a New York Jet?
Right. Manipulating the roster to get your friends on it and win 5 games? Is that it? Show up somewhere and have almost no hope almost immediately?
Constantly be making distractions by things you say and do and then complaining that the team isn't focused on football?
Right. Embraced our fans and immersed himself in our city. That is what I will remember most when I look back at his time here. He will always be welcome, and I wish him only the best in whatever he chooses to do next.
Wow, that is bad.
I wonder if maybe it's a joke. Like, it's so flowery for what, I mean, I understand he's the owner. I guess you got to say something. The guy's, you know, waltzing into the Hall of Fame whenever he stops being terrible at football, which is what he is currently. And so you want to, I guess, you know, stay on his good side or what? I don't know, like, why it's all political. From day one, he embodied all that it meant to be a New York Jet.
Does anybody know actually what it means to be a Jet?
No, this is play.
What
like
does it mean?
Play like a Bill today. What?
What does it mean to be a Jet? Do the Jets have like a certain standard that is like different than most teams?
I don't know.
That we don't know about?
I don't know.
That isn't a bit? That isn't a joke?
I don't know. But that was...
Don't you kind of, once in a while, don't you kind of miss the Bills being terrible? Like just once in a while, just like every, like once a month, couldn't you just, wouldn't you just enjoy a day where like something like this would be said? And is it Brussels? Are we, is it Wednesday in Brussels?
Right.
Just like,
In a certain way, I mean, sure. I mean,
then you go back the next day.
I still prefer this, the current state of things a lot more than walking in here and like, you know, Rex and Buddy, Rex and Rob Ryan on a tandem bicycle. And like, what's going on over there? Exactly. Like, what are we doing? I just love embodied all that it means to be a New York Jet. It's just tremendous. I saw that like an hour ago. Zach, you know, lead story in the sports update is Aaron Rodgers. That's official. Like that just was right front and center.
That's good.
Because I saw that quote earlier. And I just could not believe it.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that.
I just
that.
Hope it's a. I really would like to know if it's a gag on some level. He had a bet with, you know, just like, how ridiculous of a statement can I put out there that people will maybe believe? Because this is right on the edge to me.
Well, does he even write it himself? Like, probably most owners won't write their own statements. You know, they'd have somebody, even GMs, I think, have somebody write the public announcement.
Oh, of course.
This could be Brick's work. Brick Johnson, his son Brick.
Yeah, I suppose.
That could be maybe Brick's work.
But I would assume if you're going to release something out to the world that and your name is going to be on it, even if somebody else writes it for you, that you at least read it first and would have the opportunity to go, I don't want my name on that. I don't want to say that. I mean, is there some other way that we can say, you know, thanks for coming and not have it seem like we think he was a jerk or that this was a disaster, but that leaves out the part about embodying all it meant to be a Jet.
They won 5 games.
Right. They won 5
games.
They won 5 games. They gave up assets to get him. They paid him $75 million and signed Lazard and Randall Cobb and Tim Boyle. I'm sorry, I'm reading off Bill Barnwell's tweet here. Davante Adams acquisition, Nate Hackett is offensive coordinator. I mean, the whole thing has just been a flaming dumpster fire from almost the word go and all that it meant to be a New York Jet. I mean, I guess it was a disaster. Maybe that's the joke.
Yeah.
Maybe Woody Johnson is making a joke, or whoever wrote this for him is making a joke.
Doubtful, though.
Yeah, probably. But in my mind, like all it meant to be a Jet is to be a mess. And that was a mess. So yeah, you got it. You're the opposite of Joe Namath. But you know, right now, this is what we mean. We used to mean fur coats and Super Bowl trophies. I mean, that was only one time. It's a long time ago now. But yeah, now we mean this.
He did finish 7th in AP Comeback Player of the Year voting, Rodgers.
Well, we can't take that away from him.
By having an Achilles tear and playing 17 games. Then, you know, you're in contention for that award. You're
sure.
In the running.
Yep.
Right behind Tim Patrick.
That was a nice story this year.
Who is the favorite to be their week one starter? You said Cousins yesterday?
Yeah. I don't think he's the fan. I saw betting odds on this today. I actually opened it. Often I don't because I like to play. If you ever are inclined to ask me, I like to not know. And Cousins he's like 4th or 5th on the list. I don't remember now. Nor do I remember who. I think Russell Wilson might have had better odds than him. Actually, now
what would you do?
Justin Fields had better odds than him. So the two Steelers guys. What would I do?
What should they do? So, as laughable as that is, it was a good move to move on from him.
Oh God, yeah.
They had to do that.
Yeah, I'm mad.
So it's
I wish they would have kept him.
It's a step forward. to break that off.
Yes.
So let's say you're thinking rationally and you want to be done with Aaron Rodgers. Nobody expects you to win next year. What do you do? And you can't draft one of the top two guys, probably. They pick sixth, I think. Maybe that's wrong. The Raiders might be sixth. They're right in that range there. They're not getting Cam Ward without a trade. And I think the only way to trade for Cam Ward or even Sanders is to get to one. It sounds like you might have to get to one because Tennessee might not do it. And you jump over the Browns and the Giants and maybe can pick your quarterback that way if that's possible. It should be possible if Tennessee, you know, isn't married to Abdul Carter or somebody else. Mm-hmm. He'd be the guy, right? So
I think so, yes.
It seems pretty unlikely the Jets would end up with one of those two rookies. What should they do?
Well, their pick is definitely in the top 16 of the draft, right?
Yes. Yes. Milroe is what they should do. That's what you would do? Week one starter?
That's my dude. That is my dude, Jalen Milroe from Alabama. I don't know. I don't know what a good idea is for them right now. That's why Cousins is kind of funny in that he's old and also had an Achilles tear before he went to Atlanta and eventually got replaced by a guy that nobody thought was going to be a first-round pick, by the way, and ended up being the eighth pick, Michael Penix Jr. Cousins, as much as I'm sort of kidding when I say it, I don't think it's a terrible idea. Like, as a placeholder, somebody's going to have to play. So that he's on the board to me as a possibility. The betting odds that I referenced go any rookie is the favorite. I mean, good luck. I mean, they could get all rookie. They could certainly draft Milroe. They wouldn't have to do anything. They might get laughed at for doing it, just like Atlanta got laughed at for taking Penix after signing Cousins. But nonetheless, so any rookie's the favorite.
Any rookie.
Fields 3-1, Wilson 4-1, Darnold 5-1, Cousins 7-1, and then we're into it's Trubisky is next, and then Teddy Bridgewater is on this
all
list.
All right.
So I'll stop there. I've gone far enough. Cooper Rush. Yeah.
Is there going to maybe be a market for Justin Fields? Like, he's up. And, you know, Pittsburgh can negotiate with him now. Today we have conflicting reports on whether Pittsburgh inquired about Trevor Lawrence. Can I say a word on that before we continue here?
Sure.
So there's a report that the Steelers called about Lawrence. Who wants you to know that? Who leaks that? I think it was actually, I don't have to ask. It was actually said in that tweet that someone from inside Jacksonville,
right,
like someone who matters inside that organization, told some reporter that the Steelers called. And it even got a little specific with what maybe the Steelers might have been inclined to offer. Later, it's reported by one of the big timers, Pittsburgh denies making the call. Who wants you to know that? I'm guessing it's also the Jaguars. I think my best guess is that someone, now they don't have a GM. So it's not a current GM. They don't have that. Someone within Jacksonville wants the public to know that they got a call on Lawrence. And I think you would do that because you want more people to call on Lawrence. Like, you want to start something. And then later in the day, someone else with the Jaguars, I would think, maybe the owner's son, who are the people involved? Someone else with the Jaguars wants you to know that that didn't happen, that Pittsburgh did not actually make that phone call. Because they want, now like Lawrence is in the news out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And like, no, we don't want that either. We don't want people speculating that we're trying to unload him.
Yeah.
So that because they're such... They're very jet-like as an organization, Jacksonville. That's the kind of dysfunction I would expect.
Yeah.
Where somebody is saying, yeah. And I feel like it's probably true. That because why wouldn't – what's so bad about it? What's so bad about finding out? You know, if you're
right.
The Steelers. What's so bad about
yeah.
it? So somebody wants you to know that call happened. Maybe they can start something and see if there's like a huge offer for Lawrence. And then somebody else, probably higher up in the organization, is like, stop it.
Yeah.
We don't want this to be a thing.
Yeah, I got like two thoughts. Neither of them have to be right, but these are like two possibilities to me. Whoever leaked it originally was sort of, and I did not see the details, if there are any, on how that was positioned, if you know what I mean, right? Like, did the person within the Jaguars who leaked this originally, like, I can't believe the Steelers called us about Lawrence. Like, we're going to do that. Right, that could be one, and then it just turns into the Steelers called, and now we're doing everything you just said. It also could be someone in the Jaguars. Yeah, you incite bidding because now teams are going to call if they think that there's a possibility you're moving a potentially very good to great young quarterback. You also run it out there, like see how it gets received by football media, by football fans, by your fans. Right? Like, it's a way to find, like, would you consider doing it? Well, it depends on what we can get, you know, like that kind of thing. So to me, I don't dismiss anything because I think teams, maybe they want to really know, like, how do we should know how we feel, but we're hiring new people. How does everybody feel about Trevor Lawrence? Maybe all the people they interviewed were like, I don't know. Sure, I can work with him, but you know, I'd rather do this. You know, I'd rather have a clean new shot with my own guy without the baggage of a $50 million a year contract or something. I mean, it's possible. So let's see how it would go over. Like, take the temperature of the room and find out if there's an appetite within the fan base to say, you know what? Yeah, let's give Liam Cohen a new guy and we'll start over with a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract and let somebody else pay Trevor Lawrence $50 million a year. I mean, it's nutty, but it's, you know, you said the important thing in there. That organization is kind of a mess. So nothing would surprise me. There could be people with all kinds of agendas there.
What happens if you're traded when you have a dead cap number of $133 million? What happens if you're traded in that situation?
Well, if you stretch it out after June 1st, I don't know.
That's get it down under 110.
That's a pretty unrealistic number. I think.
Just did this with him. Like, that would just be incredible if they were trying to get out. But anyway, so Fields, like, if I got to Lawrence because it was Pittsburgh, but you know, we had Andrew on last week and he tweeted and said he thinks Fields is the likeliest scenario. Yesterday there was Rodgers stuff with the Steelers, which that would blow my mind. Like, that's not an org. They've had some, you know, drama with the Steelers, but I don't think it would ever get to that level. Arthur Smith, Rodgers is going to run an Arthur Smith offense, and Tomlin's going to be subservient to him to whatever extent.
Like, the Steelers are going to hand over the keys to that empire to Aaron Rodgers. That does not seem like a fit at all to me.
But they're another team where it's just not obvious what they should do. They're probably not going to go with a rookie. They did Pickett, and then they got out of that and went to, well, eventually Wilson, but Wilson and Fields. So you go draft pick, no, that bombed. Then you go established veteran, even though he'd been bad and he was just kind of bad again. And I don't know, don't want that either. So what's next? And maybe like a greater commitment to Fields is perhaps likelier than anything else that they do. Is there a market waiting for Justin Fields? The Jets or whoever you want, the Titans, you could say the Colts, I guess, the Browns or the Giants, but the rookies are kind of waiting there for them. There's a list, and I wonder if he is. Last year there wasn't. Last year at this time he was the Bears guy, and they had the number one pick, and we all argued about whether they should just keep Fields and trade the pick or not. And so they decide to move him, and he goes for a sixth. What did he do this year that makes him a better, like a greater commodity than a year ago?
Absolutely nothing. It would blow my mind if the state of quarterbacking in the league is in such such short supply that there would be a market for him as a starter. I mean, I think he gets, you know, he's still young enough and has still sort of been, there's flashes of the talent that intrigue you, and guys like that are just going to get, they probably get shots at it until they're in their 30s, a guy like him. So I think he's got a ways to go before he's got nowhere to sit. But the idea of a team targeting him as a number one, I suppose he could go somewhere, sort of like when Rex first got here and we had Fitz and we had Tyrod Taylor and we had, was it Matt Castle?
I guess.
Where the three was, I think Fitz was still here for the start of that, and then Fitz, I think, got released, if I remember right. Either way, Tyrod was like one of three guys battling in training camp. And I understand, like, I want him to win because we have no idea what he is, and maybe there's a ceiling there that no one saw coming, so I hope he wins the job. He did. But, like, going into it, like, the Bills didn't bring him in to be the starter. It was like, well, let's just take a look at it. And Fields could get that chance. Like, he could go somewhere and have a really good summer and end up starting.
Is there...
But, man.
Is there a quarterback... like there probably is a quarterback like Taylor somewhere in the league. I mean, what was Tyrod Taylor before the Bills got him? I think he was a sixth-round pick, wasn't he?
Fifth or sixth. Yeah, I don't remember which, but...
Like, a late day three pick by the Ravens that hardly ever got in a game. I guess there was enough, maybe he played a little bit, I don't remember right now, but there was enough interest in him for the Bills to, you know, come have a chance to start. There's probably a player or two like that around the league that we're not talking about. Somebody that maybe was even a higher draft pick than that, that there's some interest in. Like Tyler Huntley, who has had starting opportunities, is somebody that a team might want to try on. Brissett still exists, you know, another one.
I think the only thing stopping me from saying Fields is that comp is that he was such a high pick. Like, you know, but I think at this stage of his career, the best he could hope for would be a situation like Taylor fell into here with the Bills in 17. In 15, which was, you know, we got nothing really happening. You want to give it a try? Go, look, he won the job. I think Fields, that's the ceiling right now. Going into this offseason and heading into next season, I feel like that is the best Fields is going to do. I don't have to be right about that, but it would stun me if somebody like the Jets said, you know what, come on in here and you're just going to be our starter because we don't have a better idea.
So a competition, different styles, young, old, something like that.
Yeah, young, old, and a draft pick. You know, whether it's a day one draft pick or a day three draft pick, but like somebody.
I just wouldn't want, I would never want to have to roll out Cousins alone after just going through Rodgers. It's just the same thing. You know, it's the same thing without McAfee. Just like old and kind of bad. And what are we really hoping for here? To beat Buffalo this way? Like we got to try somebody. We got to find somebody that can make it believable that there's a future here. The coach needs it. I mean, Aaron Glenn, fine, but there's fine for you already.
Mm-hmm.
2 years to get anywhere, right? It's solid, get be a little more than that. That's kind of what you have to do. And so if you're developing a quarterback, that usually takes time. I don't know. It's a weird year, I think, with all these teams. There were so many bad teams. I was reading RotoPat today, Patrick Doherty at NBC, who went team by team, so like what happened this year and what's ahead. And he's an excellent writer. I ended up getting through the whole thing, but like I felt like a half an hour into it, I was still on terrible teams. Like there were so many this year that, yeah. You know, you see it, 13 losses, 14 losses. There were a lot of bad teams. And most of them need somebody. Like who doesn't? San Francisco.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, as Purdy, they lost maybe 11 games or 12 games, whatever that was. But everybody else is nowhere. At the position, Tennessee, Cleveland, Jets, Giants, Raiders, Jaguars have Lawrence, so that is different.
Saints were bad. They've got Derek Carr, and they're stuck with Derek Carr. Like, it's the dead cap isn't quite what Lawrence is, but it's not
tenable.
Did you
hear them today?
Yeah.
Oh, we love having Derek Carr.
That might be, yeah. Like, that's another one. It's sort of, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I did see that, and that felt very much to me like the coach, like, oh no, he's a good quarterback. I should stop at some point. He's great. He's one. I don't remember the quote, but it just was like one on top of the other, just raising the bar each time with how good he is, what caliber of player he is, and like, you could have stopped with just like, we think he's a good starting quarterback in the NFL and not kept going.
You have to overdo it.
It's so tough.
What Carr does is embody everything it means to be a Saint. That's what Carr does.
Yes.
He embodies, as I am the coach of the Saints for the first day, I feel like he embodies everything it means to be a Saint.
Play like a Saint today.
803-0550, James Cook, the latest. I'm plugged in over here. You know, he's tweeting about the 15 mil and the scrubbing. Why can't it be scraping? Scrapping. Scrubbing the bills off his page. You know, that's a That's one of the oldest tricks in the book right there.
And it seems like an escalation type of move when it doesn't seem like – it seems like he's just been sort of doing this himself.
Oh, he's having a good time.
But I actually have thoughts on him scrubbing the Bills from after the break.
Good. I'm glad you answered yes to my question. Do you have something? I have something too, but I'm trying to find the right time for it, where we can really stretch out.
Oh, I see.
Greg Wyshynski, Sal Capaccio today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here for your calls. We'll look for them after this timeout. This is WGR.
Marner, full stride into the zone. Mitch Marner scores! Mitch Marner! An overtime winner for Team Canada!
How do they play overtime?
3-on-3 for 10 minutes. Well, a max of 10 minutes.
This was 8. The goal was like just after 8 minutes.
I think so, yeah. It went for a while. And it, you know, it had its pockets of just let me back up and regroup, you know, just like overtime in the NHL. But holy cow, there was some incredible playing within there. Nathan MacKinnon, for I think one shift, was like, I don't know, Kobe Bryant bringing the ball over the timeline. Like, just, all right, I'm coming. I'm coming one-on-one. It was tremendous. He had, I think, 3 shots in a row on one shift that were like that. Like, one-on-one with a defenseman, and, the goalie made the saves. It was tremendous. What did I say yesterday? 5 or 6? I expect to be 7 or 8 by the weekend, like on a 1-10. Man, I sat down, I watched like an hour worth of pregame coverage.
Wow. And there was more than an hour worth, wasn't there?
I don't know. I got to it at about 7:05 and it was on already. So I don't know if they went longer than that on TNT/Max or what, but I saw a lot of it. The game, well, yeah, there was a lot because the game didn't start until 8:15 or 8:20. So at some point it was like 7:25 and the little countdown clock said like 58 minutes to go before faceoff. Anyway, so yeah, it was a long time. But the anthem and the introductions and Mario Lemieux and like by the time they dropped the puck, I was at a 10. Like I was like, I hope this is good. And the start was amazing. The power play goal, like
first minute,
less than a minute in, was just an amazing play by Crosby to MacKinnon, and just it met whatever criteria I needed. I mean, it was physical enough. I mean, guys weren't getting trucked, but checks were getting finished, and it looked like everybody there really, really cared a lot. So the bar's high for tonight and moving forward. Canada-US on Saturday night is, to me, can't-miss TV. I can't wait for that.
I saw that Sidney Crosby was one of the stars yesterday.
3 assists, yeah, including,
you know what,
on the winner.
Score one goal, then talk to me. (laughs) (1)(1) goal. You want to be one of the stars of the game? Come on. Win something.
It is so absolutely wild that a player of his caliber that's been at his level for as long as he's been is still at the level where he can get on the ice with McDavid, Makar, and
that's
MacKinnon
true.
On a power play and make the play that leads to the layup goal. Like, it just, what a player. What a talent he's been. And again, yeah, to be still at that level is incredible. It was really impressive. Like, I usually am one who roots against Canada because I like to watch the world burn. And by the world, I guess I mean Canada. Like, because they get so upset because it feels to them like a birthright. You know, we're Canada, we have hockey, you know. And so when they get upset, it works for me, yeah. But they're so full of talent, and I don't have like anything really against any, like. The Sabres have been so bad for so long, like, I even forgot that I don't like Sidney Crosby.
I was thinking that earlier.
You know, like, I'm just...
Remember being mad at him?
Yeah.
Or just disliking him or anything? Just, like, caring?
Yeah.
Remember that? It's a long time ago.
Now it's just marveling at the talent. is what I was doing last night. So, like, I did not feel, and plus, you know, my friend John Gale is like a family member at this point. He really cares about Canada winning. And so, like, I don't want to root against him, you know? So that mixes me up a little. I end up just watching it just, I don't really care who wins. I think U.S.-Canada will be different. I think it'll be hard for me not to be rooting for the U.S. But last night I was not pulling, outside of like hoping Dahlin would do a thing that, you know, he never even saw the ice in overtime, Dahlin. But I was like, boy, if he could make, he had a play, he made a really nice goal mouth pass, I think, while the game was tied. That could have been like a go-ahead goal in the third period. Short of wanting him to do something really cool, I don't really feel like I have a horse in the race. I just want to watch the great hockey.
Well, I guess considering that the Scotties Tournament of Hearts opens tomorrow, this will be one of the top sporting events of the next few days in Canada, this tournament.
I believe so.
It can't be won. It can't be over the Scotties.
Yeah, okay.
It could be right, you know, 1A, 1B, 1A, 1B.
So are the Scotties on TNT?
The Scotties are on
Twitch?
TSN.
Are they on Twitch?
And Twitch. And
with us.
Bravo. I don't know if we're going to get them. I meant to find out or try to find out. I didn't find out. I'll have to do that. Whether you can. Last year, for the first time, you could watch the streams live in the States.
Oh, okay.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to use my time off next week to just get a motel room in Canada so I have access to the Scotties on TSN.
Kids love that.
I thought, oh, they will. They'll have their phones. I thought about Thunder Bay for 5 seconds. The tournament is in this is curling. The tournament is in Thunder Bay, and I asked you, you know, where's that in proximity? You know, just the Sault Ste. Marie, and I read, you know, Sudbury. Like you go to Sudbury, and then like you keep going to go to Sault Ste. Marie, and on TSN their article it said you go to Sudbury, then you go 11 hours north.
Right. Yeah, I mentioned Sudbury to you. I thought I bet it's north of Sudbury because Sudbury was like halfway to Sault Ste. Marie, and that's like a 9-hour drive. Like left, you hang a left and start going around the Great Lakes from Sudbury to Sault Ste. Marie, and Thunder Bay is 11 hours north of there. Wow.
Yes, it's a 16.5-hour drive according to Google Maps. In Ontario, it's like north of Minnesota.
You can split that up.
Give my kids half. You know, let them take a couple of turns. It can't be that much traffic, you know, on a drive like that. Right. Shouldn't be too precarious. Let's go to the calls here. Zach is next. Hello, Zach.
Hey, guys. You know, I was thinking about Cook here and the contract, and a thought in my mind here isn't so much about his value as a player or, you know, the cost it would make to the team, but I was wondering, like, what would be the implications if they were to make him the size? Second highest paid running back in the league. And what I mean by that is I don't want them to think that they need to run the ball any more than they currently do, because I also feel like, for as successful as they have been in running the ball, I don't need them, again, to do it more often. Right. And I don't know if philosophically the front office is of the mindset, you know, if we're paying somebody top dollar that they have to get the ball. I understand it's not wide receiver money necessarily, but still, I do worry a little bit about that if they were to go for that $15 million contract, you know.
I wouldn't expect them. I think they've already sort of raised the stakes with Cook in the running game, you know, this year, end of last year and this year. I wouldn't expect that to go higher. And that really depends on how teams are playing them and injuries and all of that. If your line is different, I wouldn't read it as a greater commitment to him. I would read it as a continuing commitment to him. On the same level that worked great and won them a trip to the AFC Championship. I mean, the caller probably knows I'm like-minded about run versus pass, but I don't think it's like sort of a new level of that.
What I think is interesting to sort of turn over and talk about within all of this that seems like maybe it'll be a talking point until it gets resolved, and who knows when it will be resolved. The next clue, I mean, I don't know, James Cook can drop hints on social media day over day here, and that can lead us in one direction. But we're a couple of weeks out from the combine, and you know, the Bills hierarchy will speak at the combine and surely will be asked about what their feelings are on how to proceed with James Cook. Both Bean and McDermott will speak at different times during that week, again, 2 weeks from now. So we'll hear something. I think a big point already I'm seeing referenced frequently is how often he plays, period. Forget about how much the Bills run the ball. I don't expect that to change. And like you said, opponent to opponent, maybe they'll feel like they need to run it even more than they did last year at times. And that's fine. You just keep getting your 30 points. I'm not going to worry about how you move the ball. But he didn't play 50% of the snaps. Like, that is, to me, a thing that's in the way of paying him a top-of-market contract. Because he's not a true one. He's not a horse. He's not built like that. And so if you pay him like that and then intend, therefore, to use him like that, I think you're heading perhaps in a risky direction, because I'm not sure how he'd hold up, how effective he'll be even if he's healthy enough to play, and whether or not he'd actually be healthy enough to play as much as he has. He missed one game with, a toe injury this year, and one game his rookie year. In between, he played them all, the 23 season. So he's been available, but he also is playing in a part-time role. He's the number one running back by usage, but he's not on the field 70% of the time or anything.
You're right. It was 48.
So that, I mean, I would just really struggle with making that kind of financial commitment to someone who I'm not even using that way.
You know, we spent a lot of time on this yesterday, as you know. You would never pay him $15 million a year. You would just never do that. Interesting to talk to Mike Jannetty yesterday from SpotTrac about 3-4 year deals that get you into the $10 million a year ballpark that he argued could be what the Bills would want. What do they want? They want James Cook on their team and happy for probably another 3 years. Maybe after 3 years, they would think, then we might be in a little bit of trouble. But they don't overuse him, like you said. Like, I would think the money will be the money, but what would the Bills want from this? They'd want Cook locked in for 2 or 3 more years, if not 4. And then how do you go about that? And I feel like there almost definitely will be, like what Mike was saying, a fit for what the Bills... I mean, the Bills are not going to be just like, I think, no, forget it, get out of here, we don't need you, after what's happened the last couple of years. I'd be shocked if they were thinking that way. For all that gets said about replaceability at running back, mm-hmm. I'd be shocked if they didn't value him. But he's having his fun right now with the $15 million. He's not going to get it. He'll get a nice contract, you know, probably better than the 16th leading rusher in the league, which is what he was this year in yards, you know, and everybody will be happy. If he's really dug in, which is kind of how he's trying to apparently make us mm-hmm. think he is right now, then that's something else.
Right.
But it's a lot of talk. There's a lot of talk always, you know, from players who are ready for their next deal every year.
You mentioned Mike Jannetty. He had this morning, I came across, a breakdown on what a 3-year, $45 million contract for him could look like that is team-friendly for 2 years, which is, you know, a lot of running backs have ended up in this same place. Like, you're going to get to have the news conference, and your agent's going to get to say, and all of, you know, Ian Rappaport and everybody's going to say, 3 years, $45 million, $15 million AAV. But in reality, it's more like a 3-year or 2-year, $22 million contract, because you can walk away from it before you get to the last year of that extension that Mike posted had like a $17 million salary that, like, no way in hell would anyone ever expect to see. If you the minute you sign it, you're like, okay, well, that's not going to happen. But it gets you the billboard if that's what you want. So I don't know if that's realistic, how realistic it is at all. What I wanted to say, by the way, before we go to another break here, about him scrubbing the social media stuff, I feel like that is something guys do when it's like time to go to the mattresses, when they're locked in with the team and they already know they're not getting what they want. And I don't know, like, it feels like a premature move unless he already knows that they're going, yeah, no, No.
Well, when would they have first been able to even talk to him about it? I mean, in an official way. Monday?
Yeah, I don't know how that works. I mean, the agent could have talked to him about it in December, I suppose. You know, the Bills.
Before the season's over, you're allowed to do that?
I think the agent can talk to the team about what their plans are, what they have in mind. I think. I don't think there's anything illegal about that. I don't think you could have signed him to a new contract until this year was over, because the way the rules work, year three's got to be done. But I'm wondering if he already has an inkling. Like, if this is all happening publicly on his end, because he already has reason to think they're not going to get near enough what he thinks he wants.
Man, that I would think that almost has to be premature. Like, the Bills, of course, have had meetings and plans for every day. You know, all the time you would have these thoughts and these conversations. But for it to be thought that they're just way far away on, like, the first week of the official offseason, That would surprise me. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, 803-0550. This is WGR. I want to start making a list of good ideas, as far as we're concerned, for pick 30. And then maybe we could get to 30 names and have it be the 30 for 30. What do you think?
That works.
Yesterday we had a couple. Chris Trapasso came on. The safety you like.
Yep, Emin Wurry.
Luther Burden. Maybe he gets to 30, wide receiver. Missouri.
Yep.
Todd McShay on his show said he thinks two tight ends will go in the top 15. The Bills probably would not be in the tight end market.
I would guess maybe not at all in the draft, certainly not in round one.
Tyler Warren and Colston Loveland. Warren is Penn State. I think Loveland is Michigan. So two in the top 15. Sounds pretty good. Greg Wyshynski coming up at the top of the hour. Here's Charles with us. Hi, Charles.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great. Thank you.
Good. I know it's probably been touched on, but I just wanted to say, obviously, Delvin Cook, I believe he's got a lot to say to his younger brother. Just kind of the way that he is faded out of the league. I know he has carried the ball maybe double or times that James has in the time of his career.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking Delvin's probably telling him, hey, little bro, get your money now. Get it while you can. I will hang up and listen. Thanks, gentlemen.
I would absolutely expect if someone to be telling James Cook that, even if his brother hadn't been through it. But his brother having firsthand knowledge of how it works, or at least how it worked for him. I would expect that. You know, you're talking to people around you. But I think anybody, especially at that position, regardless of the family history, his agent would be telling him, we got to get what we can now. Like, this is your time. Like, I don't think that's at all out of line. Like, I understand where Cook is coming from. I don't think it's realistic that the Bills are going to meet that money here. But I feel horrible for running backs. They play a very high collision, high injury, short career span position. And they've had a very tough time getting, you know, the contract acceleration that many other positions in the sport have gotten, because it looks like it has proven to be a replaceable position. I can find someone to do this for a few million bucks. Why should I pay 10, 12, 15 for it?
The Delvin Cook point, it has been mentioned, and I expect to hear it a lot. I'm not sure really what it means. Whether it's his brother or his agent or anybody else in his world that would make this point to him, one that he might already know and understand himself. If the best I could do to guess it, like why it might matter, is if he becomes like really entrenched in the idea that he should get it. I mean, Dalvin Cook went to Pro Bowls, you know, I guess maybe James Cook has too. So there's... Yep. There's that comparison, but it also happened where he got his big contract. We didn't know as much. Well, I'm not even sure that's right about running backs and replaceability. Because when that happened, I remember just thinking that was ridiculous. He got like 5 for 63 or something from Minnesota after he'd established himself in the league. So I don't doubt it's logical. It's a logical assumption to think that James Cook would be getting that advice. He's already there, apparently, by his social media. If I'm the Bills, I really don't care who's advising him. But if he, again, this is going to be the tipping point, is like, no, I'm not playing for less, then the Bills have a problem. Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. It's USA and Finland in the Four Nations face-off tonight. We'll talk to Greg about that. Last night's game, tonight's game is on ESPN where he works, and the NHL season coming up. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.